This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
This is ESPN 1000. WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Now, back to more Waddle and Sylvie. Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Thank you for listening, calling, and participating in today's show. And thanks to Dusty Baker for joining us. It was nice of him.
What?
This will be...
Wait, what?
I missed
that.
Come on. We were upstairs meeting.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
That's why we're so late. We're so late because Dusty was on.
Really?
I was waiting for Sylvie's reaction.
Did you tell him Sylvie hates him?
No. This will be Dusty's 12th team to win at least 90 games, and we talked to him about this. Like, this is probably his best.
Best team. That was so funny.
And I asked him if it's hard to manage at 73. He said, no, but he's got a 23-year-old.
Jesse, did you ask for Justin Fields again today, too?
No, I didn't do that.
Thanks to Jesse for helping book Dusty, and thanks for sitting in for Yerk. Jesse's back Wednesday.
Yeah.
He's going to book Dylan Cease, hopefully.
This is all I do.
I'm going to see Sox. And
he's a great teammate, though. But he books for shows no matter what.
Jesse always
does. Is the good kid out again on Wednesday?
He's off all week.
Birthday week. That's right.
Thanks to Black and Abdallah as well. The boys will be on after Waddle and Sylvie. And then White Sox baseball at 6:30. Tomorrow is the Cease-Verlander matchup that is going to be one of the biggest ones in baseball.
Is that sold out?
I don't know. I'm going tomorrow.
Are you?
Jesse's like, why wouldn't you go? I'm like, yeah, you're right. Why wouldn't I go?
And then I told him to come to the locker room with me.
I got nothing going on.
Yeah. No way.
Take my son and a couple of his buddies. I am going to go.
Maybe you can sit on Dusty's lap for the post-game press conference.
My son sit on my lap. You never know.
You got to get there. For I would imagine, for Cease Verlander, you got to get there on time. Because that could be one of those...
Hour and 50-minute games?
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't Cease and what's his name on Cleveland go like 2 hours and 10 minutes? Yeah,
Cease and Bieber.
I think Cease Bieber in Cleveland was like a 2-hour, 20-minute
game.
This
could be fast.
But Cease, I wouldn't like always equate with real speed, though, because his walk rate is so high.
No,
as great
right.
as he's been, his walk rate is high.
Well, they're 1-2 in Cy Young voting right now.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. There's no doubt.
Yep. And then I saw, is it Jay Cuda or Jay Cutta? How does the guy who, there's a really good foul on the south side who said, I believe this is the latest in the year in decades. The two starters with sub-2 ERAs are going head-to-head.
Yes.
Is that right?
There's a few of those stats that I'm going to pull out before tomorrow night.
Boy,
but
that's interesting.
That's amazing. Yeah,
I mean, this is a historic matchup.
It is.
Wow.
It is.
As good as they've been pitching.
Real quick here, Crosstalk is brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. It is time for Crosstalk. I mean, obviously, Bears and White Sox and Astros have dominated the conversation today, rightfully so. I'm sure it will this afternoon with you guys. Sylvie brought up a good point, you know, about like what we were talking about, some of the happenings at practice. Tevin Jenkins playing guard today and Kyler Gordon practicing and saying he's going to play a little bit on Thursday, which is great. But like, what's going on with the Roquan situation? Now, we updated that the league is... You know, the league has said, hey, anybody calling you saying they're representing Roquan, you don't get to talk to him. I mean, it was crazy, that whole thing over the weekend. And so there's been a development there. But, you know, Sylvie said, well, what's happening in terms of practice? Like, are they
talking about practice?
Right. Like, are they going to start fining him?
That was my prediction.
Which is now their right to do.
Right. My prediction was they would play nice until after this preseason game, because they had the right, if they wanted to. The collective bargaining agreement allowed them to fine him a game check for missing this preseason game. 1/18 of his salary.
Right.
My thought was they'll play nice from Friday. They won't fine you on Saturday. But if you're not out on the field practicing Monday, that's when the fines will start. That's how I kind of projected that this thing would go. And then Sylvie pointed it out to me earlier. We haven't seen a single tweet about whether or not he was even at practice or whether he was participating. Was it, you know, status quo? Didn't see anything.
It's sort of like assumed now. I thought today would be, coming off the game, a reset day. Now, did you mention that? What's his
what's his name?
No, not yet. About what is his
Saint Elmo?
Saint Elmo.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Saint Omni. I stayed at the Saint Omni. Hey, it overlooks the ocean. No, his name is Saint Omni, who's been calling on him. But Eberflus didn't speak today. So no, Eberflus did not address the Roquan situation. But none of the reporters really tweeted about it. Like,
I
almost it's assumed that he's going to continue to hold in.
And then the question would be, at what point do you guys decide to use the collectively bargained leverage that you have, which is a $40,000 fine for every practice missed? Well, they've already saved him, if you do the math.
What have they saved him?
They've saved him about $1 million.
Wow.
Really?
Well, think how many practices that they had. As soon as he doesn't practice, he's been cleared physically, and he's
right.
But they put him on PUP to help
practices.
Well, they could have fined him game check $9 million a year, one game check, and there was probably 10 or 12 practices.
So here's my question: once they start fining him, how does that impact everything?
Right,
the negotiation, the relationship,
of
all of that.
We don't know.
Well,
that's my question.
Like, if I don't like, we've seen it go astray with Allen Robinson.
Yes,
like when a guy's not happy, and then it didn't work out for either side. Mm-hmm. The Bears didn't get anything for Allen Robinson. It was a rare good free agent who just is allowed to walk, and they got, and Allen Robinson lost money by not producing last year. Yes. Whatever happened, whatever happened on the franchise tag. I want him to be good, but I also, we've always said that Jesse, he eventually has to play.
And
then they have control over him in his free agent year if they want to franchise.
They have control over him for 3 more years counting this year and then 2 after if they want.
Which is unlikely for that second franchise tag, but certainly this year and next if they want.
So what's the strategy in having this guy make calls for him? Right, like
is no strategy. In fact, it's illegal.
Is he trying to just stir the pot? Is he trying to?
Does he not know any better?
Off the Bears?
I don't know, but it's silly. It's not knowing the system because they have to grant you. This is why having an agent works 99% of the time.
Right.
Because the agent will ask for permission to seek a trade, and then that agent will have contacts around the league, having done business with all these other teams, and possibly find a home for him somewhere else.
Hmm. Can I read you the statement? This is from, so Courtney sent off a bunch of tweets about if you're just, it happened at about 1:45. The NFL Management Council just sent a memo to teams warning of a non-NFLPA certified agent contacting teams on Roquan Smith's behalf. The NFL, quote, the NFLPA has informed us that a person by the name of Saint Omni, his first name is Saint, his last name is Omni, who is not an NFLPA certified agent, is contacting clubs and indicating he is representing Roquan Smith, who is under contract to the Chicago Bears. Mr. Omni is prohibited from negotiating player contracts or discussing potential trades on behalf of any NFL player or prospective player or assisting in or advising with respect to such negotiations.
He's not a certified agent. You have to register with the league to represent players.
And not only that, he didn't get approval from the Bears to see, even if he was certified, the Bears have not said, yes, we're giving you permission to go seek a trade.
So factor this in with their frustration level. Again, I was talking about this last week. Ryan Poles has got to be careful in certain ways not to allow the emotion infect him. Roquan made it personal. They still want him. So don't take it personal and don't get emotional about this. This is because you can tell the agent to F off. You don't tell the player to F off. Mm-hmm. That's just the barrier exists, which makes it okay.
Right.
So at this point, does the team finally go, look, we've played nice all along. At this point, if you're not going to come to practice, you're 100% healthy and carry your business on, like, just for example, Lamar Jackson, who is a former NFL MVP, who's at practice doing all of this, doesn't have an agent, but he is participating. If you're not going to do this, we have collectively bargained this issue. And you as players have agreed that it's okay for a team to fine a player $40,000 a day if, in fact, a healthy player is sitting out with a contract dispute. If that's the case, I wouldn't blame the Bears for using that leverage.
I agree with you, especially as you start a new regime. You don't have a Super Bowl contender. You can make a statement to everybody. And I don't think it's that we treat our players poorly. I think you're telling his teammates something by saying, hey, we want him back in here. We're not going to just let him play this out. So, yes, I think you do this now at the beginning of your regime.
Set the precedent,
Set that precedent and get him back in there.
They've already played nice for a couple of weeks.
They really have. I won't throw bouquets in their direction too often, but in a sense, Tommy's right. They really have kind of played nice here. They've saved him a substantial amount of money. Yeah. They didn't have to do that.
I mean,
and
by the
gonna
way,
come a time
I think
when
it was
you're
the
sort
right
of have
thing.
To put your foot down. Like,
yeah,
you
I
know,
think like I, you, look, listen, I don't, I'm with you. I don't think you throw bouquets at them, but yeah, I think it was the right decision. All yeah. things considered, but there comes a point in time where it's like, look, you're basically using the power that's been given to you by a collectively bargained agreement. Yeah. Like the players have consented to this.
Look, it reminds me of Fernando Tatis. When he fell off the motorcycle, the Padres were like, oh, okay, he'll learn from it. We'll be okay. He'll be okay. This second time now, gets caught with steroids. Their vibe is a little bit different.
See, the Rickon knew, you guys.
You know it.
FYI.
We have learned that not only did Ryan Pace know about Deshaun Watson, but we have now learned Rickon knew about Fernando Tatis.
That's good, yes. Rickon knew all along he's going to hurt himself in a motorcycle accident.
Well, he also knew that Sale was going to do what he did as well, right?
Yes, of course, you guys.
How did he fall off the bike, or what happened?
He fell off a motorcycle. That's why he broke his wrist.
No, that was Tatis. You're talking about Sale?
No, I'm talking about Sale now.
Yeah, Sale fell off a regular bike.
Yeah,
I think he fell off a regular bike.
So he's already out. He just came back. Then the ball hits him on a comebacker.
And then
he's out. So now with the broken finger, he's riding a bike. And
that's what the excuse was.
And then he fell off the bike and broke his what? Now
it's a lot of rookie things.
Didn't he break his wrist?
I think so, yeah.
Like, after seeing what he did at that minor league ballpark,
I think
he fell off a bike?
Remember what he did in the major league ballpark.
Arnold with scissors? Right. Running around with scissors, cutting up jerseys.
Right.
Like, I love Chris Sale, but you got to...
He punched a wall. Yeah, I mean, I would think.
Come on, man. And I love Preller's comments. Like
That's what I'm saying. It reminds me of the Bears being nice, and then you're like, okay, enough is enough.
Like, we made a $230 million commitment in you.
Yeah.
You've now cost us a year and a half because you were riding a motorcycle and then took a very serious anabolic steroid.
It's $340 million, but what's the difference?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
13
and 340.
Okay, so I was way off. I don't know why I got too crazy. I mean, you get, like, excuse me.
Yeah.
I was at
the Sox game yesterday, and the guy in the row in front of us heard me and a buddy of mine. We went with two friends. We took the boys. A friend of mine took his kids. So we were talking about the Tatis thing. The guy turns around to me. He goes, now's the time the Sox should trade for him. But he was serious. And I'm like, you think Jerry's going to pay for that contract?
$340 million for a guy that's going to miss a year and a half.
Right.
I don't know.
Your angry response to the NFL making the Bears travel to Seattle for a game on Thursday. I'd be honest, I didn't realize the scheduling here. I knew they were playing Seattle, but I just assumed they
Friday
wouldn't make them play on a short week.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
It's beyond
belief. Is it almost like a lost week for them?
Yes.
Because of the before and after, you know what I mean, practices?
I mean, there's no excuse from the league's perspective. Again, look, they have really cut back on what they asked these guys to do, and it's smart. Training camp is not the grueling, ridiculous festival of ignorance that it used to be.
Good way to put it.
It was. It was just stupid what we used to do. Yeah. We didn't know any better.
Yeah.
But even so, now, this is the moment in time during an NFL season where you'll have the largest work week or your biggest workload. Like, you're not asking guys to do more going forward than you are right now.
Yeah.
And now you're going to ask these guys to play on a short week and travel across the country? It just doesn't make any sense.
It's brutal.
You shouldn't be playing on a short week regardless, even in the regular season.
There should be no Thursday night football in the preseason. Oh, and we assumed Buck and Aikman were doing the game. They're not.
No, it's a Lewis.
Exactly. And Lewis is very good.
Steve Levy, of course.
I like Lewis. But I mean, like, it's not Buck and Aikman.
You think they want Seattle and Bears in the preseason?
Yeah.
Buck and Aikman?
ESPN's not paying him enough for that.
They might have asked Buck and he told him to go jump in the lake.
Think about what it does. Too, the trickle effect. You're practicing shells today, and tomorrow you're basically a glorified walkthrough.
And then
you travel.
Then you travel.
Like, you've completely
3,000 miles to Seattle.
I mean, no sense.
Why? I thought we always had regional games in the preseason. Like, the Bears in Cleveland used to be.
Right,
And we just had Bears Kansas City.
Yep.
Like, there are a lot of regional matchups that you could do.
Or when there had the longer
usually
preseason, maybe it made sense
even
to go one time.
Didn't the Rams just play the Chargers? Because it's again two teams that don't have to travel against each other. Now, I think Seattle was in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Is that where they were?
Yes, they were.
So like, it was a long trip for them. Now you're making something. No one's really that close to Seattle, but still.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're in an awkward spot, but that's not our problem.
Right.
That's not the Bears' problem. It's ridiculous.
I didn't recognize this. This is unacceptable. It really isn't. I mean, this is crazy.
They had to play on that substandard field on Saturday. Now they have to fly to Seattle tomorrow on Wednesday.
It's not even the travel. It's just like it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
I've got some news on the field, too.
Oh, really?
I do.
I said, get her back on.
Is it dome ready?
I should have tweeted her.
Let's see now.
Is it dome ready now? Is it now dome ready?
Can we get dome ready, please?
Now they are going to
have grass ready.
They'll have a spanking new field on September 11th.
It's going to be a different. It'll be a different version of grass.
Well, it's already different. I think Biggsy had said that.
It used to be they used to get their sod. It was the Kentucky
bluegrass.
Bluegrass. They're making the change. My official sod people are telling me.
You can bury two holes of golf on it.
They're going to the Florida Bermuda grass.
Yeah.
But a hardier version of the Bermuda grass. So this is new, too.
You got a grass guy?
I got a grass guy.
Wow.
Do you know what they say about the Kentucky bluegrass? You
can play 18 holes on it.
The amazing thing about this is you can play 18 holes on it and today get stoned at the Jesus belt that night.
So not only are they going to re-sod a week before, they're hoping the Bears requested that they move away from the Kentucky bluegrass.
Why, is it because the Bermuda can withstand the elements more?
No, that's as far as my grass.
I mean, you got a guy, start texting him for crying out loud.
I'm being serious. They are installing a hardy Bermuda field a week before the season.
Biggie said that the new grass is more sand and less clay, which is why it did look like a chewed up fairway.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. Right,
I mean, it did. It looked awful. I don't know how
sod they're getting now from a farm in New Jersey, and maybe it is the bluegrass, like Sylvie said, but it's got more sand and less clay than the old turf.
I was wondering, like, it looked awful. I wonder how it was to actually play and to cut and run, because it didn't seem like a lot of guys were. It didn't seem like a lot of guys were slipping or falling. A
ton of turf,
but it just visually it did not look appealing. It's not what you would expect.
Yeah, Mahomes didn't rip it afterwards.
No.
He was all right.
Andy did, didn't he? Andy said it was like his high school shot.
Said it was better than a high school field, but not.
Did he describe the Bears defense like that as well? As they went 11 plays, 72 yards in 5 minutes.
It's Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. I mean, what do you expect? Come on, take it easy. All right, take it easy.
I heard somebody on Cap and Jay Hood today. Oh, a guy called in and said, "It's reaffirmed. I think it's going to be 10 or 11 wins of what I saw."
What reaffirms it?
The second half?
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid today, though.
Are you?
I am drinking the Kool-Aid.
You know what?
I love the Kool-Aid.
I'm drinking it on two guys, though. I will say, I walked away going, Brisker and Ebner. I love him.
I love this.
You mentioned the punter.
Well, forget the punter.
Well, what do you mean they drafted him? He's everything is advertised.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of him this year, too.
He's pinning teams inside the five.
Yeah. Somebody's already got the five.
Oh, my God.
In practice, he pinned them back, too. I loved it. It was like, hey, okay, man.
We loved Matt Nagy after 1 year, too.
Yeah, we did.
By the way, really quick, Jesse's been working behind my back with my wife.
Oh, I've heard.
Just stop there.
I don't know what's been going on, but they've been texting each other about stuff.
Why is your son's favorite player Lance McCullers Jr.? Let's start with that.
I believe he was watching playoff baseball on demand last year in the postseason.
Okay.
And McCullers was great. Hasn't McCullers been great?
He's got a nice flow under that hat, too.
And for whatever reason, he's got this infatuation with Lance. He's got a pendant, a fake 43 pendant that he wears on a gold chain.
She texted that to me. Show him this.
For Lance McCullers Jr.
So I'm going to try to hook up Mason and Lance this week. But
I don't know what's going on
the
here.
The beauty of this is texting with your wife.
Are they going to do? Go on vacation together?
Yeah, Lance and Mason? But this is what I love about the exchange. And my wife is exactly the same way I think Carmen's wife is. She texts me, So during the game, because he's not pitching this week, will he be in the regular dugout or the pitcher's dugout?
Like the bullpen.
Pitcher's dugout. Yeah.
So there's all these texts that I'm trying to figure out what she means.
Yeah.
She's like, should I get seats on the first base side or third base side? What side of the dugout? I'm not getting Mason in the dugout during the game.
And I don't endorse any of this. I found out, we went to the game yesterday. Now I find out my wife may take Mason.
Yeah.
Just the two of them. So
like,
he can see Lance McCullers sometime this week. I'm like, what's going on here?
Is he
going
to be in the pitcher's dugout?
The thing is that he loves Lance McCullers. By the way, Mo already called. Mo's back on the line.
He's pissed at us, right?
Well, he's not pissed at you, but Mo is hot and bothered if anybody thinks the Bears can't win 10 or 11 games.
No, did you hear, though, when he called show?
I heard.
When Mo made the analogy.
It was a bizarre analogy.
He said he was
the
comparing
White Sox.
Do you have that? No, he said the Roquan Smith negotiation was like a bad breakup between
him and his girlfriend.
Right. When he broke up with his girlfriend and his girlfriend said to him, I hate you, I hate you, I hope you die.
I hope you die.
And then he went back to Roquan. And I'm like, no one caught this, that Mo's ex-girlfriend is hoping death on Mo.
Mo just knows how to bring it. And he already called. He was on 30 minutes ago.
And then Mo was tweeting all last week saying that we did Mo wrong, that all we did was replay his call.
He called us and compared it to the White Sox in
2005. What happened in 2005? And I was like, what? And he goes, well, the White Sox, he said, they won 99 games. I'm like, he goes, I think he was trying to say this White Sox team can win it. And sure, I guess they can, but like, what would give you that idea? A team that's 56-53.
Apparently the same.
In the middle of August.
The same thing that's giving the idea the Bears can win 10 or 11. Same thing.
He's like, the 05 White Sox. I'm like, yeah, the 05 White Sox won 99 games.
Yeah, wire to wire.
They're wire to wire.
If you want to predict that the Bears will win 10 or 11 games, have at it. I'm not going to talk you off it.
Bet it over. You get plus
don't
money.
Don't care.
Go ahead.
But don't try to force me to see it the same way that you do.
I think there's an overwhelming theme from one game. And I'm not saying that this one game means everything.
Awesome.
But there's an overwhelming theme that Bears fans should be optimistic about. Allow me to drink the Kool-Aid.
What's the punter's
name?
And
I'll introduce that coming up
next.
What's
his name? Gil?
It's a good name, too. Right. He's got a good name.
Like Jason Gil?
Like Omni? Same good name, kind of like Omni?
It's a good name. All right,
Waddle. All right, boys. Good seeing you.
Wednesday. All right, Waddle and Sylvie are next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Lofted it up there for Darnell Mooney inside the 45 of Kansas City.
Blitz.
If Chiefs bring pressure, Fields hit as he throws. Oh my goodness. What a great effort by Tajay Sharp to hole it in. That was a spectacular grab. Good moves by Ebner. Big run, first down into Chiefs territory. Inside the 35-yard line, Jalen Watson missed the tackle, and Ebner took full advantage for 27 yards. There's Ebner into the end zone, and the Bears are on the board. A touchdown.
They cannot compete with the Chiefs in their first team. We know this. They're in a rebuilding situation, but a lot of the new guys that Ryan Poles acquired, that Ryan Poles drafted. We always talk about quantity. Bring in more guys. Don't pinpoint one. Don't be scared to trade down. And I'm not telling you that this is going to be an awesome rookie class. I'm just judging it through the lens of one game. I thought it was a very good start for the guy who just signed a bunch of young players. Drafted players, undrafted players, Jack Sanborn. I mean, doesn't that sound like a Chicago linebacker's name right there? Sanborn, let me tell you about Sanborn. He knows how to play. They teach them how to play in Jim Leonard's situational football up at Wisconsin. He doesn't need the measurables. He's a Waddle on defense.
Sanbornski. He's a Chicago guy. Which is good, because there was a lot of consternation about why he didn't give Justin Fields more to work with in the draft. And now everyone is suggesting, Brisker is going to be a Hall of Famer. This stuff all takes time, you know?
But Brisker did play well, and it's exciting. Ebner played well. He's got like that...
Wiggle to him.
Yeah, like a Tariq Cohen type player where you could throw the ball to him. He could run the ball a little bit. You saw his fifth round pick start at left tackle, and other than one snap, look pretty good.
Look, in preseason football, there's no, you're not scheming, you're not game planning. So to me, what stands out most is individual performances. And I think you highlighted a lot of them. Ebner looked very good. Brisker did some good things. Sharp did some nice things as well. Wasn't just the great catch on the sideline. But look, Mooney made an excellent catch. Braxton Jones held his own. The kid Sanborn as well. So, yes, I think that there were some things. That's what I'm looking for in a preseason game because, again, things most things aren't scripted. The other thing you're looking for is, are you starting to find a little bit of discipline and continuity? Now, again, it's one game. But one of the things that had me most twisted and perplexed over the last couple of years was this was a team that consistently beat itself. Mental mistakes, physical mistakes, penalties, all of that stuff. Again, an enormously small sample size. Zero turnovers and five penalties for 32 yards. That's a positive for me. Like, individual performances in a group that is out there actually that shows that they've got a little bit of discipline and they're not out there beating themselves. You were in above, you were over your skis with regard to the talent on the other side. The Kansas City Chiefs are a finished product. I believe they've been to the NFC or the AFC title game four straight years. You're not going to match up to them, which makes it imperative that you don't beat yourself. Now, again, like the first team defense, you're in over your head. Like it was 11 plays, 72 yards, 5 minutes. It was
pitch and catch.
Yeah. I mean, it was if Patrick Mahomes stayed on the field any longer, it was going to be 40-0 at the half.
Right.
The first team offense, three and out. Second drive, you got one first down. The third drive, you got three first downs. At the end of the day, you get 0 points.
Right.
You would have lost the game. So now you start to look at some of the other stuff. And I have to say, I agree with what your assessment is on some of the individual performances. And again, the fact that zero turnovers and five penalties for 32 yards is, you know what, that's significant to me.
Look, I covered a camp in the 90s where a wide receiver flashed named Salicio Sanford. We always used that as the base. Like, oh, Salicio Sanford. You know, Wani used to go, oh, keep your eye on Carl Reeves. Like, there are a lot of guys through the experience, and I even tweeted about, you know, we miss JD every day. I had a flashback for that opening preseason game of just a year ago of my text and Twitter exchange with JD over Justin Fields. You know, when it was
Sylvie, relax.
Yeah, Sylvie. He's a long ways away. Keep in mind who he's playing against. These are not the starters on the other team. They're not game plan, all that stuff. Yes. And I'm not making any conclusions whatsoever. But as you mentioned, they weren't penalized. They could have been looking like the Dallas Cowboys did.
17
with
penalties.
With that coach.
Could have been kicking the ball all over the field, turning it over.
Right.
They didn't.
I saw a lot of the guys that Poles acquired in game one, and that's all I'm doing is taking it for game one. That's all I can use.
Yeah.
And then after game two, you know what? I got two games to judge it from. And then after the third preseason game, we've got like that. And then we start a regular season, and we weigh that even more. Got
to start somewhere.
We got to start somewhere. And all I'm saying is, it seems like, hopefully, he knows what he's doing in acquiring young talent. Because if you can acquire young guys who do better than where you draft them, then you can start a foundation, and then you can, and then everything depends on Fields. But if you can put a foundation around this team a little bit and just set it, and see growth.
Slow build. And I think that was his explanation for why he drafted a cornerback and a safety in the first two picks of the draft this year. Despite a lot of people clamoring for more help for Justin, they stayed consistent. And maybe you'll continue to see why Brisker was a guy they drafted at 49 instead of somebody else. I don't know. We'll end up finding out. Now, here's getting, you know, Velus Jones was back on the field today. Kyler Gordon was back on the field today. Two other guys who are going to play significant roles if, in fact, this base that we're speaking of starts to build and starts to be something that you can get excited with. To me, again, 2022 is about development and trying to find that foundation on a number of fronts. If they win 12 games and they go 12-5 and go to the postseason, I'll be just as happy as everyone else. I'm not projecting that. It's not what I'm focused on right now. I'm focused on watching these guys. I'm focused on Braxton Jones proving, hopefully, that he can be your left tackle for years to come. I'm focused on watching Luke Getsy and how he handles his quarterback and tries to help his quarterback out and help him come along at a decent pace. I'm focused on a lot of things that aren't necessarily tied to their win and loss.
People who are watching the film, and Dan Durkin's going to join us weekly. He's going to join us on Wednesday. He could break this stuff down for him, too. But like the Tajay Sharpe catch, that it was the whole play that people were holding on hope for because it was Justin Fields who changed the protection, didn't he, at the line of scrimmage?
That's what it appears like. He pointed to his tight end who was going to stay in. And if the play, what sticks in your mind most is the catch by Sharp because it was a brilliant one-handed catch. The play actually becomes something because everybody's doing their job and right. The young quarterback is recognizing.
Pre-snap.
Which is a direct result of coaching. So carry it another level. It's not just that the young player is starting to develop and see things more clearly. It's also recognition that maybe the process of getting him to see things differently is also working. Like what Getsy is talking to him about on a day in and day out basis is actually making a difference.
Right, right. He's actually being developed maybe this time.
Maybe
instead of worrying about Andy Dalton knowing the playbook and leaving the kid with no coaching and no reps. Jim in Crystal Lake, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. Longtime listener, 27th time calling in.
Ooh. Oh, wow. That's good.
Right, right. Hey, I got a legitimate question for Waddle. Not the usual hubbub you guys usually beat up to death. But this is a legitimate question. So going back to Dusty Baker, his conversation in the previous show before you guys came on, he said, and I know it's a cliche in sports, that you can't tell whether this team lost five games in a row or won five games in a row. And to me, I hear that a lot of times in sports. Like, for instance, for me, the White Sox, they've won five games at home in a row. Shouldn't they be fired up, the team be fired up to win six games? Shouldn't they be, hey, guys, we just lost five games in a row, and somebody start kicking them in the butt and getting pissed off. Or if you're winning, you know, celebrate it and keep the streak going. I just don't get why every team says so many times that it's just we're even keel. You can't win. You can't tell if we won five games or lost games in a row.
Well, I think, Jim, baseball is different than football. Look, you only get 17 tries at it in football. You get 162 in baseball. Now, a sense of urgency needs to be there at all times, but you can't panic.
People make fun of Joe Maddon, but that's what Joe Maddon, why he developed that celebrating every win and that club dub thing that the Bears ended up taking. Remember, they had the disco room and they would celebrate every win. Joe Maddon's philosophy was what Jim said. He said it's really hard to win a baseball game and every game should be celebrated that you win. And that you do well. So he tried to build that mentality with the Cubs culture when he came in 15.
Yeah, I got no problem if you celebrate every win. Just make sure you don't come out the next day and let down. Make sure you have that same sense of urgency and you don't fall into this trap of complacency. Like that team on the South Side, to me, plays complacent quite a bit. I know that Vaughn talked about Johnny Cueto hitting the nail squarely on the head with them needing a little bit more fire. I'll believe it when I see it over a long period of time. But that team plays too complacent for my liking.
You for sure. Absolutely. At least they got the sweep against the team they needed to sweep. Now we'll see the big four-game series against the Astros. If you want to weigh in on what you saw from the Bears, they've got a quick turnaround. There's the news on Roquan Smith, and we got more information on this guy who's calling around on behalf of Roquan Smith that now the NFL has sent out, the management council has set stuff out. We got to talk about Soldier Field too. Like a lot of people want to blame the city. A lot of people want to blame Soldier Field. Is this another example of the Bears where they are the ones at fault for the field? 332-3776 plus Adam Amin, who did the game, will join us at 3.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Now, a lot better than my high school field was. Not much. Yeah, Sanderson.
What do you think of the field conditions? Yeah, I mean, it was good. I mean, I think they had some type of concert, so there was some stuff here and there, but I mean, it wasn't any crazy bad shape or anything like that. So I love playing here at Soldier Field. I mean, it's an awesome stadium. You feel the history of it. Hopefully I get to play a couple more games here and try to do whatever I can to win them.
Should be playing all 16 games every year.
Every time he comes here, they put 40 on us.
Well, of course.
And my guess is if that was a regular season game, he would have put 40 on us again.
Yeah, you're right. I had the same reaction. I was driving in listening to Carmen play that. And Carmen, like, went back down memory lane. Like, hearing him love playing at Soldier and just saying the history. And he didn't rip the field. Saying it looked, I guess, that was the theme. Most people said it looked worse than it actually played.
It looked bad.
The optics are not good. Yeah. The optics when the Bears are in the middle of this Arlington Heights thing and the city is trying to keep them. And then, boom, the spotlight goes in the very first game on Soldier Field. And
it
the
looks like
president of the NFLPA is tweeting about safety measures.
He needs to also tweet at the whoever's in charge. Because as far as we know, the league passed the field, right?
Well, that was his point, though. Yeah. His point was the league passed that. And
so they need higher standards?
They need higher standards. That if you're passing that field, that was his exact tweet. Then we need new metrics on how to judge fields, if that's passable.
Yeah.
But again, and the only thing I'll say to this, and I'll say many things about this, so I shouldn't say the only thing I'll say about this. This has been a topic on our show for years. Waddle and I, back in the day when we were blasting the field, we got invited down from the management of Soldier Field to do a show on Soldier Field.
Yeah.
So they could show us what they do, what they try to do, and how do they try to get it better. They had the Elton John concert on there. They had then the rains after the Elton John concert. And then they had the family fest and they got a resod before the opener. It's bad. There's no other way to say it. But again, as we've always pointed out, the management who runs Soldier Field has always offered the Bears field turf and that they would take care of the cost. They offered, guys, let's go to field turf. Let's use a multi-purpose,
surface
where we could do concerts. We don't have to worry about it resodding. We don't have to worry about it getting chewed up.
And then don't we hear Ted Phillips say we've done all the studies and we just won't go to field turf because it's not as safe as that?
Yes, they've always believed that the field turf is not as safe.
Obviously, the New England Patriots feel differently.
Of course.
Because they have field turf.
Or what do they have down in the Walter Payton Center? Inside a house hall.
I would assume
it's field turf. Yeah, and a lot of the most high schools in the area have field turf. If you have a multi-purpose use building that has three more concerts before opening day against the 49ers. So my only pause is it's easy, and go ahead, to go after the city. It's easy to go after the park district. The optics look terrible. This was a Bears decision, too, to never go to field turf. So if you think that they could build this $3 billion stadium without flaws and they can't get the surface right when they had the choice of which surface to lay down on Soldier Field, why do you believe they're going to build a great stadium up in Arlington Heights?
It's a fair concern because you look to the past to predict the future. My hope would be if, in fact, you are going to spend billions of dollars, you'll get it right, but there's no guarantee.
Well, they can't get the little decisions right.
That's fair.
So, I just want everyone to know that there are different... This isn't just a Park District Soldier Field issue. The Bears have had they've had the choice. They've wanted this surface. And now I told you, they're laying down a new type of grass for the opener, too.
They're going to the old Bermuda grass?
The new sort of hardier Bermuda grass that they're now laying down in some of the northern stadiums.
Look,
instead of the Kentucky bluegrass.
If you have full control over your facility, and it's only for football games, and you can keep the grass in a pristine fashion, have at it. If you're using the facility for more than just your games on Sundays... And again, inclement weather in our town is part of the issue when you get late into the season. You better think long and hard about what the surface is going to be.
Mallor, where did they play in England a couple years ago against the Raiders? Wasn't that
Tottenham Hotspur, the new stadium?
The new Tottenham Stadium.
Yeah.
Don't they have a surface that is underneath the stadium where they have a few different types of surfaces depending on what sport they're playing? Like for soccer, don't they have a separate field from a football field where they don't... I want to say, like, they've got a couple different layers that
they
roll
may,
in.
Because obviously a football game is going to put more stress on the surface than a soccer game. Soccer game will put stress on it, but not like a football game.
Yeah, because
game.
You're not tackling exactly. over and over.
And you don't have a bunch multiple. Of 300-pound guys, you know,
you may be right. I don't know the specifics of Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, silly, but I'm sure
you're right.
You know,
that's I read about that. Like, that was one of the cool
they could
features.
Could wheel one state or one right. surface in and one surface out. Something. I think you may be right about that.
So, like, there's lots of things you can do. I hope they get it right when they do move up north. But again, this wasn't just a city thing. This was a Bears decision. They always elected to go in this area by the lakefront where it's not conducive to grow grass. I know when you have soccer games, concerts, college games, high school games, to use natural surface. So,
and I did a quick Google search, and there is an entire 2-minute clip on YouTube where they show you the pitch transformation at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium where they take, you're right, they have the pitch, what looks like underneath it. And then they could go ahead and, yes, it's a completely separate field.
So give me all that
field.
In Arlington Heights.
Yeah.
Give me all that. Give me a separate field for the Bears and give me a separate thing for the concerts and everything else.
That'd be cool.
Get it right. That's all I'm saying. 312-332-3776 or Bears Camp Updates and Twitch brought to you by your Chicagoland Midas franchisees. 312-332-3776 if you want to talk to us. We'll get to all your calls coming up. I know a lot of people want to talk. Mo's been hanging on. We also have Adam Amin, who not only did the Bears game, but he did the White Sox game on Sunday as well. Remember, he did the playoffs, White Sox and Astros a year ago, too. So we'll talk to one of our favorite guys, Adam Amin, who got an up-close look at the Bears and that turf. He'll talk to us coming up next.